Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
Vermont's Department of Public Service recently released a draft of a comprehensive energy plan for the state. According to a law from the 1990s, energy is an important enough issue for the state to have an energy plan and to update it every 5 years. Good idea. Energy is the lifeblood of our economy, and an energy plan is as important for the state's future as an economic development plan, of which there are many. The current administration is 6 years overdue with its plan, but at least it's now out there for discussion. Unfortunately, this draft lacks most of the basics of a plan. It can be summarized by saying, "We're going to do a bunch of stuff." The plan catalogs 27 strategies with 68 specific recommendations, but it's not clear why we'd want to follow those strategies or what we'd accomplish if we're successful in them. Let's take a look at a couple other approaches to energy planning. One is from the city of Portland, Oregon, whose Peak Oil Task Force completed their work last year. The other is a 2005 Energy Descent Action Plan, put together for the 7,000 residents of the town of Kinsale, Ireland, by permaculture students at a local college. What I'm looking for in an energy plan includes some assessment of where we are right now, how we got here, and what we can expect in the future. The Portland Peak Oil Task Force report is clear. The world's oil production is about to decline, and when it starts declining is relatively unimportant, because we're unprepared for the consequences. They recommend acting big and acting now to reduce oil and natural gas use by 50% within 25 years, just to stay ahead of the rate of depletion. The Portland report complemented the work of their earlier Local Action Plan on Global Warming. The city is also considering climate change. The Kinsale Energy Descent Action Plan begins by describing our time as the beginning of the second half of the age of oil. Colin Campbell, a well-known petroleum geologist, projects an even more dire scenario than Portland's. It may be as few as 13 years before the oil and natural gas available to Kinsale has shrunk to about half its current levels. As Rob Hopkins, who taught the class that wrote the plan, says, "This has implications for every aspect of life in Kinsale." The Portland plan is all about staying ahead of changes that are bound to happen anyway. With oil more expensive and less available, for example, they foresee long-distance transport of food dropping off. For them, that translates into a need to boost local food production. In Kinsale, they map that transition on a timeline. For example, by 2010, they envision a market for local food so strong that hoop greenhouses appear on open land, and, quote, "the sound of chickens is once again heard in the town," unquote. By 2012, training is held in niche food production markets, like shiitake mushrooms and uncommon vegetables. None of these plans is perfect, and all of them will have to be changed as goals go unmet and conditions change in different ways than expected. What I like about the Portland and Kinsale plans is that they are explicit enough about their expectations that the people using them can tell whether they're being achieved or not, and whether goals need to be modified. With the Vermont plan, it's hard to tell where we are, or whether we're getting to where we're going, or what the obstacles are likely to be on the way. It's like planning a hike to a vaguely defined destination. You know, we're going over those mountains, without knowing much about the terrain, and consulting the weather forecast for yesterday. We can do better. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.